Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior Jesus Christ and proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A greeting from the book of Nehemiah. All the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and the scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 19, and read responsibly by half verse. The heavens declare the glory of God.
And the firmament shows its handiwork.
One day tells its tale to another.
And one night imparts knowledge to another.
Although they have no words or language,
and their voices are not heard,
their sound has gone out into all lands,
and their message to the ends of the world.
In the deep has set a pavilion for the sun.
It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run his course.
It goes forth from the uttermost edges of the heavens and runs about to the ends of it again.
Nothing is hidden from its burning heat.
The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul.
The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is clear and is right.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever.
The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold.
Sweeter far than honey than comb.
By them also is your servant enlightened.
And he bears great reward.
Who can tell how often he offends?
Cleanse me from my secret thoughts.
Above all, keep your servants from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me.
Then shall I be whole and sound, and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight.
O Lord, my strength and my
Glory to God, the Father, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it less part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need for you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think are less honorable, we clothe with great honor. And less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members that may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. All are apostles. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit you instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question for you. Who is the church?
We are the church.
You guys are good. That's what kept coming to my mind as I considered today's readings. It's part of a call and response that we used on a Kairos Outside weekend. I know that firsthand because 2 years ago, my guitar-playing friend Jerry, may she rest in peace, and I served as the music team for a Kairos Outside weekend for women. We were told that it was like a Curcio weekend, which we had been serving on for several years. We played music together. The Kairos Outside weekend is for women who have a loved one on the inside in prison. A mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a partner, a child. And on the weekend, the team showers them with love, sings with and for them, serves them, making a community for and with all these women. And throughout the team meetings and the weekend itself, the call would be shouted, "Who's the church?" And everyone would shout back,
"We are the church.
It caught me off guard the first couple times because it was boisterous, it was joyful, and seemingly out of control. After a few times, I too was shouting in response, "We are the church!" The church, the body of Christ. And like today's reading from 1 Corinthians, these Kairos Outside women were truly the body of Christ, the church. Some members of the team were male, some were female, some were well-educated, some were older than me, some were young, some had done time themselves. Many had been a guest on a previous weekend. Some were trained in medicine, cuisine, teaching, the arts, cleaning, listening, you name it. Like all of the body parts referred to in 1 Corinthians. Just like, dare I say it, all of us here at St. Peter's. Who's the church? We are the church. And all of the readings for today, for me, focus on this particular time for our church home here at St. Peter's. A time of transition, a time of renewal, a time of inviting and seeking out the Holy Spirit, and finding each of our individual places in our community of faith. It was a time of transition for Nehemiah, too, in the Old Testament reading today. Prior to the part of the story that we hear this morning, Nehemiah had been in exile in Susa, which is a winter residence for the kings of Persia, about 150 miles north of the Persian Gulf. Susa is the same place where Ruth's story took place and where Daniel experienced his vision. It's somewhere around 445 BC, and Nehemiah's brothers come back from Jerusalem, and they tell Nehemiah how bad things are there, not only for the city itself, what with the walls and the gates destroyed by fire, but for the people too, who had no foundation, no worship, little hope. After 4 months of praying and fasting and weeping, because this saddened Nehemiah greatly, he appealed to the king, who had noticed how sad he had become. Nehemiah was, after all, the king's cupbearer, and he was in a strategic position. So he told him that he wanted to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and restore the Jewish community. And off he goes with the king's blessing and the king's provision of safe passage and timber for the job. So when he gets to Jerusalem, he surveys the job. It reminded me of our vestry and the search committee who were surveying all the particulars of our life here in faith, finding the right person to lead our congregation, guided by the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah is met with a lot of opposition, both from outside the community, who don't want anything to change, and from inside the community, where egos and personal agendas get in the way. My daughter is just celebrated 13 years sober, and she would not mind me sharing that with you, even though AA is anonymous. She celebrates it. And she said, boy, if you want to shake things up, move the chairs in the room. Nobody likes change. Yet here we are in the middle of it. So Nehemiah is a man of constant prayer, and he's following God's lead. And he guides the people who willingly come work to rebuild their faith community and the city. And they seem to do the impossible, which is exactly what happens when people do what God calls them to do. The walls go up, the gates are restored, and that's where today's reading occurs. So everyone's at the water gate. No, not that water gate. One of the 12 gates into the city. And they're standing in an open square. Everybody, old, young, male, female, rich, poor, everybody. And the priest Ezra brings out the book of the law of Moses for the first time in a long, long, long time. 70 years in exile. Imagine not hearing the word for 70 years. All the people stand up when he opens it. They lift their hands and they bow their heads and they worship the Lord. They had interpreters who helped others understand what was being said, because they knew that if you hear the word only and do not understand it, it would do little good. The people needed to be reminded how to live. And this went on for hours. When the people heard and understood the words of the law, they started weeping. You know, there was a dry period in my life when I returned to the church and heard the beauty of the liturgy and the word, I wept. Oh, heck. Sometimes when I hear the liturgy and the word today, I weep. But this was a revival, the result of the Spirit of God working through the Word of God. Nehemiah tells them not to weep. Why? Because it is a sacred day, and the joy of the Lord is their strength. The joy of the Lord is their strength. It is the people, the body of Christ, the church, who completes the rebuilding of the walls and the gates here. And they stand for 6 hours listening and praising and weeping in the overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit through the Word. The emphasis is clearly on the people who willingly do the work of rebuilding. As a matter of fact, the word people, or men and women, occurs 12 times in this passage. And just like us, we are the people of St. Peter's who have been called to do the work of rebuilding St. Peter's. Who's the church?
We are the church.
You got it. You know, the Book of Common Prayer explains that the church is the community of the new covenant. That is us. And on page 854, the church is described as, quote, the body of Jesus Christ, the body of which Jesus Christ is the head, and of which all baptized persons are members. It is called the people of God, the new Israel, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, and the pillar and ground of truth. Laypersons are listed first as the ministers of the church. And as the ministers of the church, we have spiritual and practical gifts to share that all contribute to the building of the church, just like in the story of Nehemiah and just like the reading of 1 Corinthians. The reading of 1 Corinthians says that we each are an integral part of the church, the body of Christ, and on Friday, I got a copy of the Message. It's a large print edition. Sorry, I don't need these. But I quickly went to 1 Corinthians and Nehemiah just to check out how different it was. It's a Bible in contemporary language. And I read Corinthians and listened to how the translation of chapter 12, verse 12 through 13 reads. By means of his one spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call the shots. But then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized, unquote. But I think we're all a little bit like the folks at the church in Corinth, even though they weren't very mature. Neither am I. Corinth was a cosmopolitan city with a lot of worldly influences, and the new Corinthian Christians could be factious, proud, self-promoting, heady, thoroughly blind to some significant immoral tendencies. I have no idea what they're talking about. But Paul writes to them with affection because they are called to be holy. Earlier in Corinthians, he explains that they, like us, are sanctified in Jesus Christ and called to be holy. He urges them and us to live up to that calling. And he explains that we already have the mind of Christ available to us. When we know who we are in Christ, we can step comfortably into who we were meant to be. God has carefully placed each of us where he wants us to be. And every one of us is given something to do that highlights the joy of God, which is our strength. And the Message further explained in verse 14, I love this. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. And continuing in chapter 19, but I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are a part of. How beautiful. We are significant to and significant by being a part of the body of Christ, the church. Who's the church?
We are the church.
And in verse 27 it says, you are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept you're part of that body does your part mean anything. We cannot experience all of the spiritual gifts ourselves. We have to allow others to serve us with their gifts. We've been hardwired by God for interdependence. We are the body of Christ. It's like being involved in a play for me. Everyone contributes something. The person on stage looks really stupid if the lighting guy isn't doing his job. Everyone contributes something in what they have been given to share to make the entire production come alive. And so it is here at St. Peter's to make St. Peter's come alive, if you will, and grow as the body of Christ. So how does today's gospel reading focus on this time of transition here at St. Peter's? Well, Christ has just returned from the temptation in the desert, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He goes to his hometown, and he declares that today he has fulfilled the scripture reading from Isaiah 61, proclaiming the good news. May we too, like our Lord, be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we might complete the work we have been given to do here at St. Peter's, to love and serve the Lord with gladness, singleness of heart, sharing our gifts, working together as a community of faith, knowing that we are his beloved children, and knowing that the joy of the Lord is our strength and that we are the body of Christ. So I ask you again, who is the church?
We are the church.
Amen. Please pray with me the prayer found on page 181 in the Book of Common Prayer. Page 181. It is proper 16, and even though it's not August, it seems really appropriate. Proper 16, page 181. Grant, we beseech thee, merciful God, that thy church, being gathered together in unity by the Holy Spirit, may manifest thy power among all peoples, to the glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the same Spirit, one God.